This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We honor you for today. We thank you for the work you have been doing. We thank you for the work you are doing even here. Thank you for bridal grooming from inception. Thank you for miracles. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for deliverances. Thank you for hearts that have turned. Thank you, Lord, for hearts that have changed. Thank you, Lord Almighty, for milestones that have been covered in the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for growth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, oh God, for commitments, oh God, to journey with you. Jesus, we say, be thou exalted. Jesus, you deserve our praise. You deserve our worship. You deserve our lives. You alone deserves our tomorrow. You alone deserves our praise. We are nothing outside you. We are nothing. We are nothing. We are nothing. We are nothing. We are just one that has been helped by you. Jesus, we say thank you. Lord, my heart is full of thanksgiving this morning because, Lord, we look back and we just say, indeed, it's been you. You that have led these ones to meet their mates. It has been you, Jesus. It has been you, Jesus. Oh, see the process of growth. Who else can raise a man? Who else can raise a woman? Who else can add a cubic to the soul of anyone but you, Lord Jesus? Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. For you alone, you alone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen. I want us to know that God did well by making you a woman. I want you to know that. You know, I hear people that they will say, our own is too much. We are the ones that we menstruate. We are the ones that we carry children. We are the ones that they will say we should submit. Only one person. And then the man's own is just one, two. And then you feel that the man is enjoying till you now become a man. Praise the Lord. So those are lies that the enemy tells us. You know, I was just thinking of this meeting and I just heard that the Lord will never give you an inheritance outside who he has made you to be. You can't be a transgender and receive the inheritance of God. How God will meet you is in this body he has kept you. As in, the person, the identity of who he has called you as a woman is how he's going to reward you. He's going to reward you based on your identity as a woman. He's not going to reward you based on your identity as a transgender, because that identity, you have cut off from his radar. He doesn't know you. So it's important for us to begin to thank God for who he has made us to be and to know that who he has called us to be, no matter how you think you are and how you think you look, that being that he has made is ordained for an inheritance. The best way that God can give you eternal life is not being a man. Is being a woman. If being a man would have made you to inherit him, he would have made you a man. But he didn't make us men. He looked at us and said, maybe a Sade or a Juliet, that being Juliet, if Juliet can't follow me like this, according to what he has written concerning Juliet, Juliet will inherit me. He won't swap scripts. So I want us, first and foremost, to be thankful that you are a woman. You were born a girl child. You were once a girl child. This might not make so much meaning till a season will come. It's not even a season. The season is here. You know, Satan tells us lies about, you know, yourself, about your identity, about everything else. And then sometimes you just buy the lie. I think these days we should just be as clear as possible because, you know, those days we used to feel that if you are a Christian, some of these things will not trouble you. But I'm seeing some things these days, and I'm saying that it's clear that these things are being uttered, you know. You really cannot tell who is struggling with her body. You can't tell who the enemy has spoken to that she's not doing well because she's a female. So when the Lord impressed it in my heart, I said, this cannot be now. Everybody should be okay. And then after all, we are in Africa. But you really cannot tell who is having an issue. That, you know, have you heard things like when people say, I feel trapped in my body? It's because such a person don't understand. You know, different things that they say, if you want a girl child, there are things that you should do. It's a lie. It's not like that. Our God will not put such an important thing to the hand of chance. So if he made you a woman, he made you a girl child, it was good. You are good for his inheritance. Amen. So always be thankful. Always be thankful. Be thankful that you are a woman. Be thankful and be thankful for being a female. You know, you should. It's something that the Lord wants from us. Yeah, the Lord wants from us to say that we are thankful. You know, some things, you know, you just feel like, oh, I'm thankful. I don't want to be a man, no. But when was the last time we told the Lord, thank you for that you made me a woman? Or thank you for the woman you are making me. People say, the devil told me this, the devil told me this. Part of the things that the Lord you should be hearing is that you are changing, is that you are becoming more beautiful. Those are things that, you know, the Lord, you should hear the Lord whisper to you. But because we have heard the devil so much, even when they say that, including me that is standing, I'll be like, we don't believe it. We live in doubt concerning what he's spoken to us, concerning his promise to us. We are just like, it's okay. Thank you very much. You know, just like some people, the devil has walked a walk and they don't feel that they are beautiful. When you have that identity crisis, first and foremost, you find it difficult to find your place in God. You must thank God for yourself. Thank God for your looks. Thank God for your journey. Thank God for who the Lord is making you to be. And if there are things that the Lord wants you to change, this is another flip. Some people will say, we should thank God now. And then the Lord is impressing in your heart, do this. Do this about your eating habits. Do this, do that. And we're saying, grace has covered all of us. That's living a lie. So if there are things that the Lord has told us to work on, let's receive grace to work on them. There are just certain things that, you know, I feel in my heart that, you know, as a woman, the enemy actually uttered a lot of things. There are certain attributes of a woman. And one of it, you know, is tenderness. Tenderness, to be tender. What does it mean to be tender? To be tender means to be kind. To be a woman, you ought to be kind. Sometimes you realize that the Lord brings certain people our way. Because why? The enemy through the fall took all of these things from womanhood. You know, the fact that you are quiet doesn't mean you are tender. And being tender doesn't mean that you don't talk. Do you understand? Being tender is a heart state. It's a heart state of softness, of kindness, of gentleness. If they touch the core of your heart, is it hard? There are some people, what the enemy did before now is to make us hard. He brings circumstances to us to harden us. Amen. He brings circumstances to us to make us what? Hard. Hard. You know, my mom told me once, she said, because my mom is a very tough person, and she told me, she said, I wasn't born like this. Circumstances of life made me like this. Don't get to that place where things in the natural turns you. In the season of knowledge, one thing you should protect with your life is your heart. Nothing must get there. You can be angry, but forgive quickly. Why? That thing must not enter your heart. Because when it enters your heart, to come out is very hard. So the Lord, initially, when he made a woman, one of the things that he put there was tenderness. And tenderness is not weakness. Anyone that would enjoy the tender mercies of our God must be made tender. There are certain things, if you don't know it, some things the Lord arranges around you. If you don't pay attention to it, you won't know that it's addressing your deficiency. Yes, sometimes somebody just comes to your house. The first time, you know, you give the person food. You know, the person goes again and comes back. And then you have a prompting, give this person food. What that thing is doing, it comes the third time. You have another prompting, give this person food. It comes the fourth time. You have another prompting, give this person food. And you obey that thing. What it does is that it tenderizes your heart. You have used that person to learn how to be kind. Don't play with such instructions. Don't play with it. Why? They are reversing something inside of you. It has nothing to do with whether the person says thank you or not. Do you know what that softness does? That softness, you will need it to be able to tap into the tender mercies of our God. So one of those things is, you know, kindness is something that, you know, we lost through the fall. And then in this present day, it has become worse. We find very unkind sisters. Unkind sisters. I'm talking about sisters now. I'm not talking about people on the outside. I'm talking about sisters. You know, people can, that all they think about is just me. And it's possible to be kind to someone who is kind to you and be mean to someone who is mean to you. But the true reward for kindness, you don't get anything from somebody who, there's a mutual exchange. That you don't get anything. There's no reward. If you are my friend, for instance, you are kind to me, I'm kind to you. There's no reward. It's sisterly love. There's no reward. But where the reward comes is that you are unkind to me. And I hear, sometimes that's why the Lord gives us instructions. I hear instructions, be kind to that sister. And I do it. And it comes against something. It comes against an unkind nature in my soul, you know, and I do it. That's accredited salvation to me. So let's pay attention in this season, you know, as single sisters, to learn to be kind. Be kind to brothers, not because you want to marry them. You see a brother that you know that you can help. Take off that mask of, if I help this one, and the brother will start looking at me. I'm not. Let's not be like that. Let's genuinely be kind, such that you are not expecting anything back. And it's okay if the brother feels kindness as leading, to be able to say, no, I did not hear. You know, there are also relationships that, you know, because probably you were kind to a brother and then he asked you out. And because of that, you now want to go and become evil and become unkind because he asked you out. Those are not things that should be named amongst us. So the Lord is saying that nothing should alter our states of tenderness. You can say no and still remain what? Kind. Amen. So another thing that the sister raised that the Lord would want to come back to our midst is heart of compassion. In Hebrew, it says the meaning is rechem, which means a womb which conveys tender motherly care and deep empathy. So we all must, you know, possess that as women. To be what? These are things that, you know, if when we don't have it, we will need to cry. Someone like Ruth, that was what she had. She had compassion that this woman, she has lost everything. After losing everything, how can I leave her? At least I'm stronger than her. Did she know she was going to meet a Boaz? There was nothing attached to it. She just had this compassion in her heart that how can a whole human being, this kind of, you know, terrible thing happen to somebody in a lifetime? Lose husband, lose first son, lose second son. It's enough to make somebody mad now. And then she just looked at it and paused her life to follow her. There is nobody who the Lord works that kind of heart on that the Lord doesn't reward. She didn't even care if she was going to have husband again. Let her just serve this one, you know, and serve her well to her grave. That was just her thought. She never thought that one day, you know, there will be a reward. You know, it's easy to have compassion on somebody that, okay, you just feel that at the end of the day, you know, something will come out of this, you know. Maybe probably she gets to her hometown, maybe something. But a heart of compassion, you know, is such that you just have that deep empathy. The Lord just puts that deep empathy. And please, sometimes the Lord does it for certain seasons, during certain seasons of our lives. With their seasons that you need to pay attention. That thing is true. It comes from the womb. You just have one deep, you know, whatever for somebody. It's not something that you should just say, okay, maybe somebody else will do that thing for that person, and then you just walk away. A season has just passed. So we must be people who are what? We are compassionate. Our womb must be alive. It mustn't be dead. Some of us, we are just, you just see some things and then you just move. See the story of Good Samaritan. Even though in this present day, you first think about your security, right? How many of us will pass Good Samaritan test? Me, I won't pass. It will take the Lord to tell me, help that person. I was listening to a woman of God, you know, years ago, and she said the first time the Lord told her to help somebody on the road, she didn't help the person because she was like, if I helped you, she said she saw somebody on the road and then in so much of pain and all that. You know, our first response is, I don't know what this person has gone to go and do with herself, isn't it? And the Lord told her, help her. And that place from a dead womb spoke to her and said, you don't know what she has done with herself. She said by the time she drove off and 2 hours she was coming back, she met the woman dead on the floor. She said that experience, she said she felt like she had committed unpardonable sin for it took months before she got healed of it. So, you know, our Lord is merciful. And the Lord came to her again and told her. And another day after some months or maybe a year, by the street of her house, She now saw one woman. This one was even insane. The Lord now told her, help her. And she said, ah, what is all this now? What is with me? And what the Lord now did was I now brought the flash of the last one. She said she just quickly packed her car and she came down. She would say, people will not think that she's people that used to take all these mad people to do money for rituals. She first looked at her. There were sores all over her body. She was not even wearing clothes. She asked the Lord, how do I communicate with this one? How? And that was how the Lord told her, give her food. So she just gave the lady food. And in less than 1 minute, she had finished the whole food. That means she was so hungry. So the next day, she was passing. The girl was there. And then the Lord told her again, go and give that girl food. Like that, for months, she was giving the girl food. So one day, she said she did not see her. She didn't see the girl at the spot. And of course, like everyone would do, she said she told the Lord, okay, I didn't see her today. I've tried. I'm going. The Lord told her, pack your car and look for her. You see, to develop this heart, sometimes it's very costly. It's something the Lord blessed womanhood with from the beginning. But as you grew, some of those things, you know, you just became dead to it. We lost it. And then the Lord told the woman, go and look for her. She now said, where will I find her? Say, park that car, look for her. She said, she now started looking for her, or calling her name. Okay, at some point, the girl was not saying anything to her. Then she got to know that the girl's name, now got to know her name. And then now started shouting in the whole place. And then she was like, this is a top minister of the gospel. She, they won't now say that is this one that is giving her anointing. So anyways, she was inside, you know, all these dust bins, these very big garbage cans. And then the Lord told her, pull her out. She said she looked at herself, that the thought that she was going to put her hand inside that place, that goosebumps, and she just, and then the Lord told her, pull her out. You know, when we sing this song, a heart like yours is my desire. A heart like yours is what I'm searching for. Yeah, he will lead you through that path. A heart full of compassion. So that was her own training to build compassion inside of her. It wasn't interesting. Even me that was watching this, sometimes I say, God, I beg. But you know, after that season, I just realized that, the Lord needs to work this thing inside of us. The more we don't have it, it signifies that our wombs are dead. You know, the womb of a woman is not actually just to just carry pregnancy. Your womb is for you to carry life, different, you know, life. Your womb is to carry graces. Amen. So compassion is key. Compassion is key. That thing must come back to the church. When last did you know of someone who you know is going to hell, and then you have prayed once, you've prayed twice, and then anything that wants to happen, it should happen? We saw that in Ruth to Naomi. We saw that in Good Samaritan. Let's read that, Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness. You know, these bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So these are things that should be in our womb. These are things that should be in a complete woman looking for God. That the heart is kind. Another thing that, you know, we are losing very fast is the place of being hospitable. You know, sometimes you really can't tell how not welcoming you are till, you know, the Lord brings certain people your way. How many of us have we stopped being hospitable because somebody did something wrong to us? What I want to sound here is that nobody, nothing should make you leave the place of God. No situation, no man, no woman should make you turn. Because, you know, we see people that will say, oh, because this particular situation, I'm not going to house people again. No, housing brethren, they are evil. It's a lie. It's a lie. Satan brings one person to ensure that you don't further grow. I'm a product of different graces because people stayed in my house. Initially, you know, you first think, how we food? The food never ceases because you accommodate people. As it's going like this and it's looking like this is going, gone. Before the gone, supply has come. So don't allow anything make you turn. Some people say, I'm not coming back to this church again. No, I'm not coming. Because of this so-so person. Don't leave church because of a brother. So what am I saying? I'm saying that people have imperfections and Satan himself will move people. But you must be assured in your heart, all that the Lord is to me is not this situation. All that the Lord, even if it's an assault, all that the Lord means to me is beyond this assault. There is nothing that is stronger than what the Lord means to you. There is nothing that should be stronger than who the Lord ought to be to you. So nobody should leave church because of a brother. And any brother that has not told pastor, has not come to propose, please, what is the problem? I don't understand. He has not told you, but just because, you know, that's why, you know, as sisters, it's good for us to, you know, gather our hearts. Define your relationships. If you cannot, okay, you are coming so close. Okay, what is the matter? What are we doing? Oh, it's just brother and sister. Hey, do you talk to other sisters like this? And they say, oh, that's the way I reach out to everybody. I reach out to 5-10 sisters in a day. Okay, there's no problem. Then you keep your heart. Amen. So nothing should take you out of the presence of God. Amen. Amen. So we also saw that in the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4. We also saw how hospitable, you know, the widow of Zarephath was also. We also saw it in Rebecca. So what I'm saying is that there are things that should return back to us and things that graces we should pray for. You know, you should pray that the Lord would make you compassionate. Don't, the level of compassion he has wrought in your soul, you shouldn't be comfortable with it. There is more of God. You know that thing that God left the 99 for the one? That thing. Anyone that must be like him must have that same trait. You know, these are things that as single sisters, you should be praying about. Leave brother. Follow God like this. Be compassionate, be kind, be tender-hearted. You will see five brothers that will submit name on your head alone. No, I lie not. I lie not. Looking back, I tell people, I say, I thank God my husband came when he came. Why? Because by the time my husband was coming, they had 5 different brothers had gone to go and meet a bishop that they wanted to marry me. I'm not saying I was compassionate or I was kind of. But I'm telling you that it's true. 5 different, and God just helped him then and said, no, none of you are my daughter's husband. When they come and meet pastor, you say, don't worry. There's somebody else for her. Don't worry. There's somebody else for her. Don't worry. Is it not beautiful? So these are things that we should pray about. We should trust God for. And that the Lord would put such hearts of tenderness, of compassion, of what else? being hospitable, yes, that the Lord would work it out in our hearts. Pray that the Lord will put this thing inside of you. You know, he will take away hardness. Hardness as a result of what Satan has come before God to do. You know, he's an outlaw. He always comes ahead of the Lord to alter a life. And then that life, he wants that life to be useless before God. But thank God, who is full of mercy, that looks not at his, oh God, we give Jesus thanks. There is something good inside of you that the Lord would always, is that thing he will come and pick. Satan will say, there is nothing else. That this one, you know, there's nothing else. It's a total wreck, a total write-up. But there is something even in the wreck that draws the Lord. And that thing that draws the Lord is from a womb of his that is compassionate. He looks at you and he says, oh, this girl that I made so beautiful. He can see that. He can see in the midst of the wreck, he can see that there is something beautiful that can be made. He has so much faith that our weakness cannot stop us. Have you ever thought to yourself that you are so infirmed that you feel that the Lord cannot reach certain parts of you? But that thing is a lie. It's a what? It's a lie. Is that thing itself that the Lord would take and use? Amen. He's not afraid of our darkness. He's not afraid of our weakness. He's not afraid of our infirmity. He's not afraid of how far you have gone. It's the devil that will tell you that people are raising hands. You too. You too. You have the guts to put your hand up. The next time he tells you that, tell him he didn't die for you. The one who died for you is worthy of those hands. Even though the hands are soiled, he's worthy of it. So there are infirmities that the enemy shot a womb or numbed a womb. He numbed it and put things inside the womb. So that the womb may feel that it's alive. So that's why he infirmed the womb. And gives the womb certain things and says that a woman is defined by gossip, a woman is defined by malice, envying, malice. He wove them tight inside our womb. So that is why they have to now characterize all of them as all, because the weaving was tight. When you unweave one side, you don't know that there are still strands. So at this season of your life, you just feel like, thank you, Jesus, I'm free from malice. And then another season, you just, the thing will just vroom inside of you, isn't it? How many of us have seen things like that? I've seen it too. Amen. So that's why they have to put it as all malice. All what? Yes, it will take the blood to treat our all. But let's start with the little ones that we have here and there. You know, that thing that, you know, Satan has told a woman, this is how a woman should be defined, with malice. It's natural, isn't it? When you go to your office, malice is natural, isn't it? Envy is natural. You know, to step on somebody and become the next boss is a natural thing. Why? Because that's what Satan has spread, you know, to womanhood. That a woman must be one that is jealous. A woman must be one that has so much of envy, has so much of what? Guile. But we are saying today that those numbness, those things, these are things that numb our womb. And we are saying that in the name of Jesus, we receive healing for our wombs. In the name of Jesus. Pray about these things. Pray about being compassionate. Pray it. It will come with some level of instruction. Do it. Do it and watch your life, you know, change. Most importantly, what will happen is that your taste bud will change.
Most importantly, that which hits your heart about biological clock, it will dry up. You just want to become everything God wants you to be. That's what will happen ultimately. And there's nobody that wants to become what God wants him to be. That God too will not be raising somebody to follow her together. Because the essence of marriage is two walking together to a destination. So for the brides, congratulations again. It's beautiful. Marriage is beautiful. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not beautiful. Marriage is beautiful. You know, I'm sure that the Lord has been treating your fears, and those fears are false evidence that looks real. It's not true. If you do it God's way, it's going to be beautiful. Marriage done God's way is what is beautiful. Marrying somebody who you will be journeying together back to God. There is nothing as beautiful as that. Amen. There is nothing as good as getting married to someone who, there are sisters that just want good husbands for themselves. I've seen that. They just want good husbands for, just be good so you don't carry girlfriends. Yes. Don't grow past this particular level. If you grow past it, you might hear the Lord tell you, you know, come and join full-time ministry. You might hear the Lord tell you, give up all you have. You might hear, so there are subtle fears in our hearts concerning how far. So you just want a brother. Many people that say they don't want pastors. Many people that say they don't want pastors, that's their fear. I just want a brother that goes to church, you know, that comes to church, comes for midweek service, you know, don't carry girls in the office, you make money. They don't want anybody that would touch that their inflow and outflow. But just be serving the Lord. No much demand. Serve the Lord for me. So, I said that to say that there are certain idols that we must not have. And there are certain estates we must never fear. Never fear not having money. Because in not having money, there is something the Lord wants to do. There is no season that is wasted. Never also fear having too much. There is no season that comes upon a child of God that is wasted. He will use abasing to save you. He will use abounding to save you. He will use in between to save you. You know, that's why we must actually ask the Lord to cleanse us from secret sins. You don't know how much things are meant to you, or how much things mean to you. Sometimes it could just be our upbringing. And then you take a secret oath that you don't even know. Sometimes it could just be that, you know, I didn't like the way my father treated my mother. And then you take a secret oath. It will never happen to me. No man will ever do this to me. And then Satan escorts you. Go and sit down there to end your trip to your destination. So we need to be careful. We need to be what? When you have those things, expose them. Expose them. We must ensure that nothing should alter us. You see that upbringing that you had. Some people are not married now because they made up their mind. My mother suffered. I will never marry a man that doesn't have money. Those things, purge yourself from them. Because you don't know tomorrow. Tomorrow is not in your hands. There's nobody that obeys God and is left stranded. Let's deal with, you know, those secret idols that we have in our hearts, you know, based on our upbringing, based on our life experiences, Let's deal with them. Let's trust God that this thing, you are not, you won't define me. My mother is my mother. I'm not to continue in her stead. That was her dealing. And it ends with her. If not, you won't know how, even though you love the Lord, but you won't know how much of a stronghold these things are. But the Lord will deliver us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So I said to the brides, who should be a wife? Who exactly should be a wife? Who is a wife? A wife is a female adult who has spent her single years being a daughter of God, whose desire and love for the Lord are her highest point of investment. Her object of devotion is who? Where does she draw strength and wisdom from? What characterizes her experiences? Her relationship with God. Now, if you take that thing off, you will never do marriage well. We will never be tired of saying it. You will never do marriage well if you take that aspect off. And the Holy Ghost gave me an illustration and said, the reason why you should marry right is this. You know, you and your husband, you must be wives. You are co-what? Wives. That is journeying to marry a what? Don't marry somebody that you cannot journey together to the Lamb. That is not marriable by the Lamb. So your point of interaction first must be, are you marrying the person that I want to marry? It's not, are you marrying me? The person I desire, I remember I said a wife is one who is solely devoted to the Lord, a single sister who is solely devoted to the Lord. So you also have to marry someone who is solely devoted to the Lord. You know, so two can work together and be agreed, isn't it? I'm not saying the brother is a church member. Desire is actually to journey with you. If that's the only thing you see in a brother, you have seen well. Because that thing is what was shaping every other thing in his life. A woman that keeps looking up to the Lord and keep imagining her destination, that thing, it configures you. The reason why you will do well in marriage is that thing. At the shortest glimpse of your destination, you will shock yourself. It's at that point that you will begin to see that you will know that they are spirits and they are spirits. Just take your eyes off like this. Spirits will come and visit you. The reason why I cannot, you know, keep malice with my husband, and if I have a disagreement with my husband, I'm looking for when it will end. Now. Why? I don't want evil spirits. I don't want something that would stop my journey. You see, when we are still strong, he didn't talk to you. He's begging you. Please now, sweetheart, please. He beg you today. Sweetheart, please. You are 3 days. Malice, you are not serious. You are absolutely not serious. Don't allow your husband to be begging you every day. Why? You allow him to always beg you, he will grow faster than you. And it will slow down your process, your own growth process also. Growth is very costly in the realm of the spirit. Then in marriage, please, there's no right. It's my right. You see, that right thing can cost you inheritance if you sit down with rights. A man is supposed to be like this. A man is supposed to discuss all those things before you get married and stop the discussion of your nose is beautiful, your eyes is beautiful, your leg is beautiful. Do all those discussions before you get married. Then when you get into marriage, be serious. Be serious. Why? They are spirits. Honestly, they are spirits. When I'm not in alignment with my husband, I used to feel like, I'm always like this. Like maybe one thing wants to come and from the ceiling enter my house. Have you noticed, we married sisters, when there's a friction, your children get sick. The child has came back from school, just slept and woke up, is running temperature. You better go and check. It's not antibiotics. Go and check what is doing you. Praise the Lord. And some of our children are tied to our own obedience. They are tied to our submission under our husbands. Not all of them, some of them. There are some certain children that would grow well because you stayed under. Because you allowed the angels of your household to have free flow. Angels don't come to places that is disorderly. When a place is scattered, daddy, worry, 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 it's Satan that is there. It's demons. Let's trust God to do this marriage thing. Know what you are going in, you know, for. I initially said that, you know, a wife is one that fears the Lord. She fears the Lord. And we saw that in Proverbs 31:30. This kind of woman, her actions are born out of great reverence for the Lord. Sometimes you agree to suffer loss as brides. You agree to be wrong. You will learn it because of angels in your house. Don't stay in that place too long of being correct. In the realm of the spirit, no, they don't know the one that is correct. They only see people who disobey and people who obey. People who are in alignment, what caused a friction, they don't know it. Is who is keeping the laws of life? So you should tell yourself that this thing, you know, it doesn't matter. As ladies that are just getting married, you want your husband to pet you, but prepare your mind to forgive him quickly. Even though you are still like, come to me now, come to me. But just prepare your mind that you are forgiving him. Why? In the realm of the spirit, what they see is our alignment. There is a plumb line in the realm of the spirit. What they see is our alignment. The man did not drop money today. They did not see it though. They didn't drop money. But what was your conversation? He didn't drop money, but what was your conversation? Did you break the laws of life because of his disobedience? So you have that fear in your heart not to break the laws of life. To tell yourself that not even this man that you gave me, Lord, will make me break the laws of life. I won't disobey because you are disobeying. One thing I don't like is how two people, husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira, how husband and wife went to error together. I don't used to understand it. I used to always ask, where was the wife that could not shout? Don't submit and enter error, please. I beg you. So you must be a woman that, you know, fears the Lord so much that he's able to keep the atmosphere of your home. Keep the atmosphere of your home. Sometimes you keep the atmosphere of your home crying. It won't all be pleasant. So both parties are fighting. And then when both parties are fighting to stay right, there could be a clash. But does the clash now define you? It doesn't. It doesn't. The clash must not define us. The clash must be something that it should be something that should push both parties higher. Things must not be strong enough to break us. Every situation that you have with your spouse should be such that would bind both of you together. As a woman, you must insist to use every challenge in your marriage to grow. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. If you waste it, they'll use tougher things to get to you. Don't waste it. Everything is supposed to be designed to make us who God wants us to be. I can't explain that miracle. You see this oneness thing. Oneness comes with pain. It's not a walk in the park. You know, I love you, you bring flowers. No. It's good. I'm not scaring you. You shouldn't be afraid. But there's nothing you will go through that you wouldn't have been equipped for. That's God's assurance to us. There is nothing that you will go through that you have not been wired for. You have been wired for everything till God tells Satan, is this all you can offer concerning this, my daughter? Is this the best you can do? And at that point, you just know it, that, you know, overcoming is not a walk in the park. It's not going to come with chewing gum and whatever. But so, I said all of that to say that there are seasons in marriage, my darlings. And every season is actually for a lift. Both good and bad. It's for a lift. And there's no season that you go through that there's no grace that accompanies it. So I want us to know that these things that we talk about, they are real. It's not a lie. I won't come here to say that it's only good things that will happen to you in marriage. I'm just here to tell you that there are seasons in marriage. And every season you face, know that the Lord is there. The Lord is closer to you than you ever imagined. I could tangibly just touch the Lord. He's just always there, as in it's like there's one barricade. So a wife, I also put here that her love for her husband is selfless. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 5. Every young bride is selfish. You grow into becoming selfless. Why do I say that? Because every young bride wants her husband for herself. My own. Adeorimi, my own. It's not a lie. It's the idea of your head. But with time, a true wife must be one that can give up her husband when the Lord demands of him. The Lord demands of him when it's not convenient. You must be able to say, Lord, I release him. So part of our growth should be that, you know, we must be people that don't scheme to keep our husbands. We must be able to lend him to the Lord. Be excited when he's doing the things of God. Be excited when he's growing. If he's not growing, ask, you are not growing. The Lord should mean more to you that your husband is becoming more like God than it means more to you keeping him for yourself. You know, some sisters, probably pastor says, brother, so person, you should come to the house 9 o'clock, and then you are swelling. Pastor asked my husband to come yesterday. He's asking my husband to come today. And then you are angry. If you are still like that, don't marry yet. Ask the Lord to bless you with a heart that is large enough. So I start by saying that every new bride is initially very selfish. Selfish. So you don't know how selfish you are till the Lord exposes yourself to yourself. You don't know how selfish you are and how you like your things. You like your husband to yourself. There is nothing you will give up for the Lord that you won't gain. There is nothing you will give up for the Lord, including your husband, that you won't gain in sevenfold. So prepare your heart. However, Lord, you want to use this man, just raise me to be able to fit into your plan for him. She's also one who knows how to show respect and honor her husband as her head. I tell sisters, I say, don't marry a man that you cannot honor. Don't marry a man that you cannot, what? You cannot honor. And scriptures have said, you know, honor is in faces. honor is to be revealed. What may be honor to your husband in this season might not be honor to him in the next season. As a woman, we must keep changing. Why? Because it's an instruction from the Lord to us. And that's why I like that place in Ephesians that talks about we should submit to our own husband. They have to put us unto the Lord there, because they know that if they don't put us unto the Lord, you see your husband, you will not want to submit. Because now with him, you are bare with him. His infirmities, you know, everything you know. No, it's when you enter that you will sleep by a man and he's doing, and then you ask yourself, what happened? Sweetheart, you didn't tell me this aspect of you. Is it it? But whether it snows or it doesn't snow, you must honor him. And, you know, all of these things, they are things that is born from a heart that we said initially that is devoted to the Lord. Anybody that has struggles with these things, just check your heart. When you honor him, you are doing it as unto the one who you seek, whom your heart is looking for. You cannot fully honor the Lord very well if you have not learned how to honor the person the Lord has given to you as your head. So we must learn how to what? Honor our own husband. And I said honor is what? Revelational. You cannot say the way I honor my husband, we work for your own kind of husband. It doesn't work. Some men likes to kneel down, them to kneel down for. Some other men, it means nothing to them. But they would prefer a woman whose tongue, honor is in her tongue. Some other men, so you have to know what is honor per season. What is honor? And it must be revealed. Ask the Lord, Lord, how do I honor my husband in this season? Amen. How do I honor my husband in this season? I just feel a murmuring from somebody saying that all this for a woman alone. Yes, it's for a woman alone. Because the reward that you get is for you alone. Amen. Amen. The reward is beautiful. The reward is what? Is beautiful. You will have entrance. Your feet, your feet will be fitly, you know, upon the stones of Zion. A woman that obeys God like this. Then you secure an inheritance for your children. They don't just know what is happening. They are just following God. They did nothing. Just naturally, they are just following God. Naturally. Haven't you seen people who, because of them, because of certain things the parents did, evil spirits followed their children. So don't sit down there and, you know, be cheated by the devil that, you know, all of this. So we must be what we should do, what we should learn to, you know, honor our husband. Learn to use your tongue to raise your husband's morale. Now, it's whatever you say to him that matters. He goes to work, people tell him this, people tell him that. It's what you say to him that he can hold on to. A lot of women have turned down their husbands through their what? Their mouth. Know what to say to him. There are things you never say to a man. Yes. No matter the situation you find yourself, there are certain things you never say to a man. It might take years to heal. Be the hype woman of your husband. Nobody will do it for you. If everybody, he goes to church and everybody like, oh, pastor, pastor, oh, pastor. And then you just come back home. And you don't know how to do it. be the one that will sing his praise. Be the one that can carry his burden when everything else, everybody else tells him he's a failure. Where situations of life tell him that he's not doing well. Be that one through your mouth to raise him up. To raise him from that place. Don't. Anyway, you too. Why did you talk like that? Is that how to talk? You too, you caused it. You caused it now. How would they talk to you like that? You too, you caused it. No. He comes to tell you something. You should be able to be a confidant to your husband. He comes to tell you that, at work today, I found an unnatural, a strange pull towards my colleague. Don't now be an investigator. And then you now take the phone and be checking. Hey, this person, that's a foolish woman. Instead, that thing that pulled him to that person, go and investigate it and become it. There's no sacrifice as a woman that is too much for your husband to keep your home. There is nothing that is too much. He might not even know that certain types of clothing is attracted to them, appeals to him. He just realized that when this lady dresses in a particular way, it appeals to him. And then he came to come and tell you. Then you now tell the brother, you see? And you say you are a man of God. Is that the things that a man of God should be looking at in the office? How do you preach to such a person? When you're already lusting after the person, you have killed him. He will never talk to you again. So be that, okay, send me the lady's picture. That is a wise woman. Then you create that image that he has seen. You create it. That is how to keep a man's heart. But you say, I cannot wear this kind of clothes. God forbid, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. You will lose him. He might not leave your house, but he has left your heart. He might not commit adultery, but he has left you. Know his fantasies and trust God to meet them. When you get into marriage, you won't be kabashing 24 hours. Some things he will tell you to do is out of your whatever. Propose in your heart and trust God to do it. Some of them you'll be crying. Some hairstyles, you go cry. But do it. That thing puts you in his mind. He will carry you everywhere he goes. Some husbands have image of 15 women. But be that woman that can imprint her heart, your heart, in your husband's mind. When he thinks of a woman, he sees you. When he thinks of wanting to sleep with a woman, he sees you. He's not thinking that, maybe this one, maybe that. But you can work it. You can weave that aspect where you will be tattooed everywhere of his heart. My husband tells me that when I think of a woman, I think you. You have to journey to get to that place where you become vulnerable. A man likes a woman that is vulnerable, a woman that he can lead. But if you are too strong, I don't wear those kind of things. So I don't wear those kind of things. You know, I said use it to chase away lying spirits that attacks a man's heart. You think husbands are not also attacked? Use your words to chase spirits away from your husband's heart. Bluntness is not the fruit of the spirit. It's just foolishness. It is how he's doing me, I say it. If you do it like that, how he's doing me, it's good to be sincere, but it's not everything that is how he's doing you. You will say it. Also, it's not every time. There are seasons where you can talk to your husband. Learn how to talk to a man. There is a way to talk to a man that he will hear you. One thing with new grooms is that they don't hear. So new brides too, learn how to say things. You know, how forceful scripture says are right words. So know how to talk to your husband. Know when to talk to your husband. If you learn it, it's a life skill. You realize that he will always listen to you. We must also be involved and interested in what interests our husbands. Some of us now will ask you, okay, your fiancé, what does he do? I know he works in this place. What does he do? I really don't know. IT. You must know it. At least know a little. Now, he will be able to communicate with you at all sites because you are everywhere around him. When he's talking to you about what interests him, if you are not there, he will have a friend who he will talk to about what interests him. If he likes football, like football. Learn a little about everything he knows. Don't just stay aloof. He's doing a project. What is it about this project? I don't know. He's just doing one project. My husband does many, many things, so I don't even know what he's doing. Do you know the reason why you should know a little about everything? So you know how to pray for him. There are some, for those of us whose husbands are businesses, there are some things you will pick and say, let's not invest here. If you are involved. But if you are not involved, we lost that money. It is well. God will bring another one. That was not supposed to be a loss. If you were involved. But you just, my husband, he's too active. You know, he is doing too many things. But be involved. Like Priscilla. She never left her husband. Grow to be by the side of your husband at all times. You grow into it. You grow to like what he likes. You grow to enjoy what he enjoys. I also said a wife must be accommodating so she can receive angels as visitors into her home. Hospitality, it invites what? Angels. I also put here, as a woman, there must always be food in your house. Many of us, it's not because there is no money for food. All you just think of is myself, my husband, and that is all. Somebody comes to visit you, there is nothing to eat. It's a shame on you. There must always be food for one extra person in your house. Invest in such a way that you always have food in your house. Feeding people is not a disadvantage. Never look at your purse when you are feeding people. Because the people that brought those people have their angels. Their angels would always feed them. So I know there is a balance to that. After I've said that, now you start looking for people's houses to go that have food. You cook your own food as a single sister so that when you grow, you have capacity to also receive ministry from angels. Be that wife your husband can talk about, that your husband can praise when you are not there. There's a way you touch a man that everywhere he goes, if not for my wife, everything is my wife. It's a good testimony of a daughter of God that through your life, what God gave you, you are able to preserve it. That even when you are not there, he's able to sing your praise. In the discussions at the gates of elders, your name is being mentioned. Amen. 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 You know, her husband is known in the gates when he's seated among the elders of the land. Why? Because a woman dares to do the right thing. Be that particular about everything around your husband. Be particular about the way his outlook. Many of you, you don't like the way your husband dresses. Do something about it. You don't like the way he looks. Do something about it. Don't sit down and then be pointing. Can't you see that other pastor? Can't you see the way the pastor dress? You all the time. No. Go and do something about it. Pray that the Lord will bless you with money to change his wardrobe. Do you believe you can do that?
Yes, ma'am.
As we dress for our husband ought to also dress for us. When he wears something, know how to, like we said earlier, be his hype man. Somebody should not tell him he's looking nice when you yourself, you've not said it. Also, be the wife that your husband can trust. He can trust you with money. He knows that if I give you money, you won't squander it. For instance, he tells you that, oh, okay, I have this 5 million in a particular account. And all you can just think of, oh, the next thing is, oh, let us better our life. Come and give me 2 million. Let me go and do shopping. If you are that kind of person, next time he won't tell you. Once that 5 million finish like this, that's the end. So be the one that he can entrust information to you. He can entrust money to you. If he gives you this, he knows that my wife will multiply it. Be that multiplying factor in everything that he gives to you. Don't say, they say we should have food in the house. So therefore, this amount that you gave me, there is a wisdom around it. You must find the wisdom as new brides. You are marrying one man, not another person. Never compare your husband with any other man. One thing comparison does is that it will weaken your conviction. When you hear people that say, I don't think I married my husband. Why? Because their eyes were not single. You put your eyes somewhere else. Person whose other husband that you like, that you see them in church helping the wife to carry bag, you didn't want to ask her in the house what he does. The things your husband will do that is correct. Like I say, be that hype woman. Blow it. Because why? There is no man that doesn't like it. The praise of his wife. I've not seen the man. Oh, that doesn't matter. That the man is sick. It doesn't matter. I really don't care whether you say it or not. I don't care. It's sickness. A true man wants to always please his wife. What you blow today, they will give you double of it the next time. They'll give you what? Double of it the next time. And that double of it, sometimes it comes with honor. It might not be money. It might just be honor. The way he will talk to you amongst his family. The way he talks to you in the midst of his friends. Amen. Now, desire to be your husband's good thing all the days of your life. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for listening to me. God bless you.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwu Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.